Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. White, distinguished members of Cedarville University administration, faculty, staff, and students. Wow, what a special pleasure it is for me to be back to Cedarville. I've been here a couple of times before, and I said to Dr. White earlier, I must have been pretty bad, and somebody took a position a third time might be the charm. It's an awesome place. I've had good friends up here. We've hired some wonderful people at Prasco, graduates of Cedarville. We've enjoyed Mike Maness and the baseball team and all the teams that come down to visit with us. So it is a special pleasure to be here. But I come today to speak to you about a God story that has been worked through us. It's not about us. We're not models. Jesus Christ is the model. It's an example. What I'm going to tell you about is an example of what God can do, the extraordinary things he can do through ordinary people who simply trust and obey. My subject is living your faith, your Christian faith in the marketplace, which is where the action is. Now, before I start, I know we've already had prayer, but I don't do much of anything until I pray. So if you would just join me quickly for a prayer. Almighty and merciful Heavenly Father, what a special joy it is to be here with all these young people, their instructors, their mentors, just to talk about the things that you want said, things that you want done. So we ask you to fill this room with the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak through me. And we pray, Father, that the messages that are spoken today are exactly what you want, and that from these words, some of these young people hopefully will be inspired to go out into the world and to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So we lift up every person here and this university and ask you to bless them abundantly in everything they touch. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to quickly go through some of the things I'll touch on. I'll touch on why we are the problem to a large extent. I'm going to talk about some of the challenges that we all face in living our Christian faith in the marketplace. And then I'm going to talk about the key to answering those challenges through building the right kind of a culture. And then I'll give you some of the examples that we've used at Prasco, a company that we established as God's company before we ever opened the doors 18 years ago. And we talk about faith first, pharmaceuticals, the business we're in, and then the outreach in that order. And then I'll touch briefly on Apprecia, which is another company we have, which we believe God opened the door to allow us to reach the whole world. It gives us an expanded opportunity. And then I have a few little things to leave with you and what I call a call to action. Now, I'm sure many of you have read Bob Briner's book, The Roaring Lambs, or maybe The Final Roar. Now, I first read a book, The Roaring Lambs, well over 20 years ago. I was just so impressed. Bob was in sports. He was a sports administrator. He wrote a book with Arthur Ashe in tennis. But the most important thing he did, I thought, was his activities as a Christian and what he conveyed as a Christian in writing. And what he said that struck me was that after a lot of research, Christians were having zero impact on our culture. None. Zero. And then the more profound thing he said was, we graduate thousands of young people from Christian colleges every year. They go into the marketplace and become indistinguishable from everybody else. Satan is a busy boy. As soon as you leave here, he's going to send his workers to try to tell you all the things that you cannot do as a Christian. Don't believe it. I'm going to cite some of the things today that I was told, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, it's not true. You can. The challenges I'm going to put up here are pretty obvious to you people. I'm going to put three things on the board, first of all. One is the open and broad-based promotion of sinful lifestyles. It's everywhere. It almost seems that the more evil people are, the more popular they become. And there are groups, multiple groups, that are intentionally devaluing life, from the unborn to euthanasia. The most important thing, I think, is that they're trying to take God out of every aspect of our life, from the prayer in the schools to Christmas. You know, when I was a young boy, we celebrated Christmas with Merry Christmas. We got Merry Christmas cards. We didn't get season greetings cards or Happy Holidays. I find it very interesting that Jesus Christ, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't have a name. It's now a holiday, or it's a season. The Witches' Day has a name. It's called Halloween, okay? So people are pretty liberal with names, except when they come to the Savior of the world. Now, the challenges are coming from all those places that you know about. It's coming from the movies and the music and TV and social media. And it's not an accident that this is not just my criticism. It's just a report on what's going on. I think some of the institutions of higher learning and the major media outlets have been a key part of the challenges that Christians face as they are going through a lot of exercises, what I call anti-Christian activity, and trying to influence people that Christianity is not what this country is. As a matter of fact, I think one of our top politicians said we're no longer a Christian country. That's not true. But here's the biggest issue, and it's one that I'm totally interested in and trying to pull some things together now to work with other people, because you look across the board of virtually every profession, you know, from business to entertainment, politics, sports, all of it, and the lack of strong Christian leadership is so apparent. Yes, you have isolated Tim Tebows who stand up for Christ, but there are not enough of them. So when I see a room filled with wonderful young Christian people here, you can change the world. Believe me, one scruffy little kid from Shelbyville, Kentucky, who was raised by a divorced mom who had a third grade education and had four little boys, and one of her little boys is standing up here now, and as I was listening to Dr. White, I thought, who is this guy he's talking about? So you can get a start, and you can get direction, and you can get love, and you can get all the opportunity you need in this world, regardless of what the circumstances are, as long as you have Christ with you. And I came to Christ when I was 9 years old, and it has been the thing that anchored everything that I've done my whole life. But I challenge you, and that's why people in business are challenged to do something about leadership in all these categories. And I take a position that the key to all of the marketplace challenges, the key to being successful long term in whatever you decide to do when you leave here, has to do with the kind of culture that you live in and hopefully help establish a Christian culture that essentially, a culture defines who you are, defines the business you're in, it defines the kind of people you're going to have, the way they're trained, what the standards are for performance, what your commitment is to your faith, your commitment to the community. All those things are part of your culture. Now, I know I have a limited amount of time today, but I'm going to try to give you some examples of what we've done and how the world is crying for Jesus Christ and yet are afraid to step up and say anything about it until they're invited. That's our job. That's our job. We're seed planters. We have to be able to offer the gospel message to people who are lost and they are ready to receive it. And I'm going to show you how and why that works. So how do you build a culture that gives you that positive Christian influence? Well, first of all, I've got a good friend, and that's not a name drop, John Maxwell. Anybody heard of John Maxwell? He's written about 100 books, and I've had the pleasure of sitting on his board for several years. And John wrote a book 3 or 4 years ago called Intentional Living. He says nothing significant happens unless it's intentional. He's not talking about good intentions. You pave certain highways with good intentions. No, this is something that you think about, you plan, you write it down, and you take action off of that. In an intentional culture, faith leads everything. Everything. That's why I go back to what I said earlier. In our business, it's faith, pharmaceuticals, and outreach. And it's amazing when I show you some of what's happened here. God has blessed us beyond anything I could possibly explain to you. You know, I don't want to get off track too far, but I know there's a limited time, but you need to know that I was in the pharmaceutical business my whole life. I started sweeping floors in a drugstore when I was 8 years old. Went formally into the business out of college at age 22, was with a major company for over 17 years in the brand business, and then boom, I'm in the generics business. It's interesting to me that every stop along the way, average guy, every stop along the way, God put his hand on what we did because we put God first. He sent Christians my way. We've had all kinds of things that are hard to explain. I sometimes say that if you want to see a miracle, hang around with us, because through the years, I've got a CFO who was in death's door 20 years ago. He needed a bone marrow transplant, couldn't find a match, finally found one. 3 months after that, he was closing the deal when we sold DuraMed. Today, he's our CFO. He's healthy as a horse. I've got another lady we've prayed through cancer once, twice, three times in 25 years. I've got a son who's the CEO of Prasco. I was talking to Dr. Wang about it. Chris, 3 years ago, age 46, was going to travel. Alarm goes off at 6:30 in the morning. His wife gets up, tells Chris to get up. She's in there packing a bag. She yells for him, and she hears this strange sound. He's sitting up in bed, and she can see nothing. She goes in there and yells at him, and he falls out of the bed in her arm. His heart, cardiac arrest, heart stopped. No heart attack, no blood clots, no high blood pressure. His heart just stopped. And when I get a call from, I have a son who's a pastor who they couldn't reach me when they first tried. Jeff got me. They had him at the hospital. Two cardiologists said he had less than 4% chance to survive. Less than 4% chance. So I get to the hospital and I'm looking at him. And I got his wife over there, and I explained this to Dr. White this morning. And I said, let's pray now. And this is a short, urgent prayer. And my prayer was, God, this is out of order. If I'm there and he's here, I got that. But Chris is needed. He's got 5 daughters. His family needs him. Selfishly, I need him. He has a lot to contribute yet. I'm simply asking you to remove all doubt and all fear from everybody, caregivers, family, everybody. This is yours. This is yours. We can't do a thing. You can do everything. I'm asking for and receiving that blessing that Chris will be healed. Later, I've got something about Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it's yours. He, less than 4% chance, within 24 hours, he was coming around. 90 days later, he goes to John Calipari's basketball camp for guys 35 to 55 who think they can play basketball. Played 7 full-court games in 3 days. Cal gave him the Comeback Player of the Year award. Today, 3 years later, he's in Europe now on a business trip. He didn't lose anything because of the oxygen, the time he didn't get any oxygen to his brain. Absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. I believe in miracles. When I look at what we're doing here, Faith Pharmaceuticals and outreach, and I've said the outreach involves your community, involves our country, involves our world. So we're trying to be as active as we can. Quickly, you can list whatever you want as your values, but values build culture. And the ones that we look at, the like courage and honesty and generosity and humility, those things are important. You know, it's been said, if you want to know what people's values are, look at their calendar and their checkbook and you'll know, okay? Well, this is not something you can just write down. You have to live this. And particularly in our company, my customers, my first customers, are these two ladies down here. I'm going to interrupt this by telling you I brought two visitors with me, my people who I love dearly. It's Nancy Stand Up. Nancy Grimes is our Director of Corporate Training. And Susan Fallick. Susan Fallick is the Executive Advisor to the Chairman. This lady has been with me. She'll be 31 years in September. I tell everybody she was 9 when I hired her, but they're a great example to me of Christians who want to be a part of the business world so we can impact things. Now, I'm quickly going to go through, when you're building this culture that's going to fight back with what's going on in the marketplace, you have to know what your purpose is. To us, from the beginning, is to model business success while living the great commandment and the Great Commission. Our vision, to reach the world for Christ while building a world-class healthcare company. That's big. That's very big. We said that from the beginning, and guess what? We've been the fastest growing company in the pharmaceutical industry for the last 18 years. Our mission as a business was to establish Prasco as the premier supplier of high-quality, low-cost prescription drugs. And then our giving mission out of the foundation was to positively affect the values of young people through Christian influence in sport, media, and education. Okay, those are the things that we've tried to kind of, but you have to live these things. You can't just write them down. Now, when we were putting all this together, we established what I call our covenant with God. From the beginning, I know that this was the company that God wanted us to build. After I'd been in the business, I started this business age 65. And we're now in our 18th year. Yes, I just turned 82. When I was a kid, I thought guys 82 were in one of two places. Okay, the local cemetery or nursing home. And you know what? God is good. And as long as God has you standing upright and gives you the energy to do it, Do I do things exactly the way I did 30, 40 years ago? Perhaps not, but you know what? He gave me some gifts. I knew I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, the best looking, the best athlete, but he gave me some special gifts. He gave me an optimism where the glass is always 3/4 full. He gave me an enthusiasm for life. I've loved all of it. He gave me an energy where I can still go 60 hours a week. He gave me a gratitude, a simple gratitude for everything that's come my way. And he gave me a love for people. Those are five gifts he gave me that I recognized early that hopefully we have been able to use in a way that glorify him. But in this little scenario here, we committed to God that Christ would be the centerpiece of everything we do. Prayer would be a priority. That we would tithe. Because we had people who came to work that weren't Christian. They'd never tithe, never thought about it. But guess what? They do now because they help produce the fruit that goes back to the world. We said we'd have Bible study on a voluntary basis once a week, which we do. We wanted to make sure that we were bold in how we lived our faith and that we would create reminders over time for our people to make sure they understood what this was all about. This is God's company, and we make that known even at the ballpark. So you start all this, you write it all down. What do you do to cement that culture? Well, we do things inside. For example, we had a choice about what our address would be, and we use 6125 Commerce Court. That's Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Not everybody knows that, but all of our employees do, which is what's important. Our logo is the Holy Trinity with a drop shadow of a pharmaceutical tablet, and the side of the triangle breaks that circle that creates our logo. Again, that's not something we advertise. Our people know what it is. We have a double acronym. PRASCO stands for Pharmaceutical Research and Applied Science Company, and it also stands for Pharmaceutical Resources Applied Specifically for Christian Outreach. So our people use that, and we use it with our business partners and customers in the marketplace. Early on, every meeting I had with our people, I would ask them, does it matter that God loves us, that we love him back, that we love each other, and that we love our neighbor? And the answer is, it does matter. So we adopted love God, love people. God is love as our creed. That was Jesus' response to the Pharisees when he was asked, what's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, oh, by the way, there is second is like the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two things. So that's our creed. And we print it on everything. We print it on the back of our business cards, on note cards, on golf balls, on crystal pieces. And I was told you can't do that. You can't pass out love God, love people to pharmaceutical companies and customers. Oh, yeah, you can. And then we created a little something, that a card that our people carry, like this. It's called the IC card. All right, I stands for improve daily, okay? Personally and professionally. Personally means family, church, community. Professionally, I tell people, if you're in business, nobody stays here. You either by design get better or you will automatically degrade. So our people are always stretching and growing, reading and doing what's necessary to grow. The S stands for what you would believe. Serve God, family, customers, employees, and the global community, and then execute tasks with excellence to exceed our goals, not achieve, exceed our goals, and then energize people. Energize people, big word, with what we believe through our prayers and our commitment, our passion for what we believe and what we do. And I think our people, I'll show you some of what we do in the marketplace now. There's just pictures of some of the things that we print our creed on. Again, this couple of people, pieces of scripture, I'm constantly reminding our people of 7,000 promises, I think, in the Bible, okay? The promises and the power of the Holy Spirit is what gets things done, okay? And I put Mark 11:24 that I talked about earlier, but everybody knows Matthew 7:7. Ask, seek, and knock, okay? It's clear. Jesus also said, if you believe, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So you got plenty of reason to stay there. And I wanted to move to this slide. I want to talk about prayer. Sometimes I go to church, I go to different churches, and I hear a lot of music and I hear a lot of preaching and I hear very little prayer. And I think Jesus didn't talk too much about his church of preaching and his church of music, but he talked about his church of prayer. And I want you to know why this has been so important to what God has done through our company. It's been through prayer. We pray a lot. We pray before every business meeting. We pray before meals. We have a weekly prayer on Monday. We come together for a weekly prayer with everybody. On September the 12th every year, we start over, all over. We walk the campus, we pray every room, every desk, every office, every year on September the 12th. Now, September 12th was a very special day to do that because that's anniversary with my buddy Susan Fallick. Okay, so we picked that day when we did this, and it's awesome when you get all your people praying together one more time, understanding we don't take anything for granted, what's happened in the last year that we need to be forgiven for, what's going in front of us that we need to be praying about, it's awesome. So we were told early, you can't pray with these big pharmaceutical companies. Yes, you can. I gave a speech at a major university with well over 30,000 people. It was a leadership seminar, and I was told, you can't pray, it's a public school. So I had about 120 people in the class, and the instructor knew me and knew what I was going to do, so I did the same thing I did here. I just said, look, I don't do much of anything before I pray. Would you please join me? What are they going to do, fire me, send me home? So I prayed with them, not one single objection, and after I finished that day, I had 20 or 25 of the young people come down and thank me for the prayer. Why are Christians so afraid to step up and do what is absolutely necessary? Prayer has been the single thing that has strengthened our company more than anything else. This is just a little schematic about our business. When we started our business, we let people know we had a partnering culture. And our business was based on partnering with big pharmaceutical companies. And we have 52 partners. The biggest companies in the world are our partners, okay? And we did it with a little made-up word called unlimit. And the reason I want to focus on that, because it applies to our Christian commitment also. Unlimit means we find people who are limited, boxed in, couldn't grow. But we come in and bring a piece to the puzzle that they don't have. We break down barriers and open up new business opportunities for them. That's exactly what we're doing with the gospel message. You got people, their lives are upside down. They're banging their head. They got financial issues. They've got health issues. When you can get the gospel message and let them know that Jesus Christ brings the answer for every single issue, you unlimit them. So that little schematic ties to both our business as well as our culture. We set things up. It's extremely important that whatever we do, it's a win-win-win. In our cases, we have helped business partners expand the use of the products they already had. We've helped customers because it opened up new business opportunities for them, and we've saved customers billions of dollars for being in the business we're in. Saved consuming public billions of dollars. We didn't get all that, but billions of dollars because of our being in the race. This is not a pat on my back. This is a pat on God's company's back. Think about this. Known, very open about our Christian beliefs, our faith. We pray everywhere, and yet all 52 partners are happy. We don't have one single partner who is unhappy. I'll tell you a quick story. We had one of the major customers about 4 years ago who came to us to do a product for them. And he told our vice president, that he knew that we were the best team to do the job, but they had somebody in their group who had a problem with the prayer. And Jonathan came to me with that, and I said, well, Jonathan, I guess what that means is we won't be doing business with them, because I can guarantee you we're not going to stop praying. 2 years later, they came back. And when they left, they shook hands and said, we're partners. God teaches a lot of things, patience and loyalty to God Almighty is really important. Our business has been pretty much uphill, nonstop, profitable for a long time. And that's, again, not a pat on my back. Remember, we're in this to reach the world for Christ. We have a very extensive outreach program. And I always like to use this slide to let people know, why is it important to be successful? Because it gives you such a great stage to tell the God story. When we're at Prasco Park, people come there, hamburgers are free, hot dogs are free, ice cream is free, nobody pays for anything. So sometimes find me, oh, Mr. Arrington, you're so generous, you're so wonderful. And I said, hey, hold it. You have to understand, everything here is a gift from God. It's not about me. We're just so delighted that God allows us to be able to share and to give that back. But the reason we do it is that we believe God blesses you to bless others. So when you leave here and you have an opportunity, we pray that you will seize that opportunity and bless somebody. And now you can bless people in a lot of ways. Quick story. Recently saw a survey about the top 30 things that people want. Top 30. Number 30, buy me something. Number one, encourage me. Number one, encourage me. That's across the board. Everybody wants to be encouraged. You know how much it costs you to encourage somebody? Zero. Zero. From that little experience for several years, I've gone through a little exercise I call, I know time is moving on me here, 20 touches. 20 touches every day, minimum. That's, if I'm inside the company, I like to get at least 10 people. I'll go to their desk, their office or something to affirm them, thank them, see how their family is, something to encourage them. I try to get 5 on the outside if I'm in a restaurant or a gas station or whatever, just thanking people, encouraging people. If I had that, if I could package your smile, I'd make $1 million from it. You don't have to do a lot to encourage people. Just tell them, look, I go to a lot of places. You're special in how you do this. Okay? Encourage people. Okay? 10 inside the company, 5 on the outside, 5 in the family. Now, I now have 2 granddaughters, 2 sons, 3 and 1 grandson. So I've got 5 working inside the company. If they're there, I don't have any problem doing that. That's just closed in on me recently, so I may have to expand that to 10. But if you have a conscious effort to encourage people and you have a number in your head, a minimum of 20, you'll get more. It'll just become a part of who you are. This is just quickly show you we have multiple approaches to outreach from speakers programs like John Maxwell, Dan Cathy, people like that. We have the biggest community Christmas party in Cincinnati. It's 3 days. We have like 7,000 people come through. The kids all get a gift. They all get pictures with Santa. One of the most important things that my son Chris has done is we blended our faith with our business partners. The biggest meeting in the industry is the National Association of Chain Drugstores. And when they have their meeting every August, we put on something that is an outreach activity. For example, last year in Denver, most people send 4 people to run their little booth. We sent 26 because we had a program to put bicycles together for underprivileged. Well, guess how many people actually showed up to put those bikes together? 100. Partners, customers, and competitors joined us. And the competitors asked if they could sign up to be a part of what we're doing this year. So they're waiting to be a part of Christian activities, looking for you to lead the parade when you get out there in the marketplace. That's what that's all about. The rest of that, you can see we've got garden ministry. We're very active locally. Sports ministry, I could talk for a week about this. We have so much going on. We're trying to plant seeds as far and wide as we can. On there, you'll see a lot of baseball stuff, all-star games, Reds activity, GMAC tournament. We've got the Big East tournament this year. It'll be on Fox television. But probably one of the most important things on there is the NBA prayer breakfast. That's the annual NBA All-Star game. We have been the sponsor of their prayer breakfast for the last 12 or 13 years. And we have a business called Ignition, which is a high-level training program for athletes who want to go into the professional ranks. We've got over 100 players in the NFL have trained there, and every one of them went through Bible study when they were there. And this is just a picture of our second business, Aprecia. We have the only pharmaceutical product that was developed and manufactured through three-dimensional printing, only one in the world. A lot of people do 3DP one at a time. We are the only people who figured out how to scale up and make manufacturing commercial batches of 3DP. It's a very exciting opportunity because it opens up the globe. We've already had interest from Japan, Europe, all over the world in this technology. So God continues to bless us and point us in directions He wants us to go. Outreach partnerships around the world. John Maxwell, you know, in 20 years, trained Christian leaders in every country in the world. There's John at our place. Matthew 25 distributes food into 70, 80 countries. We put a food packaging plant there. We're partial to kids, so we are primary sponsor of an abused children's charities. And these are just, at the end, just pictures of fun and a lot of activities. There's Santa. That's the real Santa. That's Mrs. Claus in that room. And then kids walking through at Christmas time and ice skating. It's kind of a fun place to be. I enjoy it a lot. Those are a lot of our own people. Our people are going on mission trips. We have over 100 outreach partners. And outreach has kept pace with the business, which pleases me. And then finally, the call to action is pretty simple. You have to recognize that Satan is real and that you're in a spiritual war all day, every day. You think he likes what's going on at Cedarville? Do you think he likes what's going on at Prasco? No, he doesn't. But he's not having us and he's not having you. Marketplace challenges must be handled in the marketplace with your faith, okay? Again, I'll just put these on the screen and let you take a look at what we're saying. The last one is make your personal commitment to do something in the marketplace. And finally, there is a reward. You can read to the end of the book. You can look at any part of the book. That would be the Bible. And you'll never find it said any better than John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to close in the prayer that God gave to Moses to deliver to the Israelites. Father in heaven, I just pray that you will bless them and keep them, make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them, lift up your countenance upon them, and give these people your peace. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Have a great day.